All right, it is Monday, December 15th. We are 10 days away from Christmas, for goodness sakes. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for stopping on by. Please hit like and subscribe. We have plenty of 49ers to talk about, and we'll get there. But we're going to start with the Warriors today, because what the Warriors did in Portland last night even has Steve Kerr saying, "I'm not doing my job very well." And sadly, I agree with him. And that's what we're going to be talking about here today on Damon Bruce Plus. Please hit like and subscribe. Again, welcome everyone. And I don't know what you're doing. Oh, I need to figure out where to point. Ike's Sandwiches. What are you doing for lunch today? What are you doing to make dinner easy? Pick up a sandwich at lunch, bring one home. Boom, you got a couple of incredible options for you. And right now, my good friend Ike, for the next couple of days between now and December 17th, you use promo code TREAT. And you get a free dessert with any sandwich when you order from our good friend Ike. So thanks very much to that, to him for that. And again, sign up for that Love Rewards program. You get a free sandwich when you sign up, and you are basically getting frequent flyer miles at the best growing sandwich shop in America. The Dubliner West Portal, Makana Bar here in San Francisco. You go and say hi to Kenny and John for me. Great place to watch Warriors basketball, Sharks hockey. Great place to watch that huge fourth quarter comeback and then the overtime winner against the Pittsburgh Penguins from over the weekend. Greatest fourth quarter, third period comeback. Scored four goals. That's a third period. Hockey mode, Damon. Great comeback for the Sharks. Big win in Pittsburgh. They're an awful lot of fun. And the only thing we can say about the Sharks is, go Sharks! And we really want to say thank you so much to Sleeper, who's been sponsoring us all football season long. Thank you, Sleeper. The best football you're going to find in terms of parlays you're looking to put together, over-unders on guys. Check out Sleeper. Use promo code Damon to get a $100 deposit match up to $100. Use the link that is right in the description of this very live stream that you are watching right now. And I got to tell you, winner, winner, chicken dinner for me this past Sunday. I said Tony Pollard's easily going over 48.5. Ricky Pearsall, 34.5 receiving yards. You better get there. Malik Mustafa, 2.5 tackles. Come on, there's no linebackers playing in front of him. Of course he's going to have 2.5 tackles. That was easy money this weekend. So Sleeper paid off for me. Make Sleeper pay off for you. And of course, be responsible as always when you're over in the land of wagering. But Sleeper's a place to do it. Incredible app and incredible user interface. Don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself. So, great play out of Brock Purdy. Maybe the best he has looked since the Super Bowl season. But we begin today with the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr even said, "I'm not doing my job very well." You know who did do his job very well last night? Steph Curry. Curry's 48 points he scored last night was the most ever that he scored in the month of December in his entire career. 48 points on 26 field goals with only 4 free throw attempts. I wonder if James Harden has ever seen north of 40 with only 4 free throw attempts. There's no way, right? I mean, Steph Curry isn't even allowed to shoot free throws. And look at how he scores. 48 points. He made 12 threes. But unfortunately, behind those dozen threes, Steph Curry became the first player in NBA history to be on the losing side of, "I just made 12 threes tonight." And that happened up in Portland, a team that they're now 0-3 against. So don't tell me they weren't ready for it. Don't tell me they weren't prepared to play this team. This is the third time that they've seen Portland, and it was another wide open threes allowed, especially those in a corner, and just turnover city. Turnover city. By the way, games with 12 or more made threes in NBA history. Steph Curry has 5 of them. Everyone else in the NBA's history has 5 of them. Klay Thompson has 3 of them. And he's included in that everyone else stat. So obviously, there's not a lot of guys who hit 12 threes in the games that weren't Golden State Warriors. And the Warriors never lost with a 3-point shooting performance like that until last night. Steve Kerr even said, "I'm not doing my job well." He has lost touch. Steve Kerr has lost touch with his roster, whether it be the formation of the roster, the construction of the roster, the deployment of the roster, the value assets of the roster, the not nuking the trade value of the one guy on your roster that you are about to trade to have a three or four guard lineup with no guards who can really play in a three or four guard lineup anymore. Look, I love Steph Curry. You love Steph Curry. We love Steph Curry. That is a given. The reason why Steph Curry will never be on my all-time, that's my starting point guard ahead of Magic Johnson or even Isaiah Thomas or John Stockton, is any all-time team is going to get scoring from everywhere. So now I need a point guard who can just distribute the ball without turning it over and play some defense. Steph is okay defensively. Let's not get over our skis there. And it's not that he had a bad night of turnovers, but he cannot do it alone. And there's nobody to help him. How can you deploy four guard lineups when everybody on your team, your first ballot Hall of Famer superstar included, isn't really good at handling the rock, can't create off the dribble, doesn't penetrate, isn't athletic? That describes more than half the guys on this team. There was a very well-written, nuanced, with all sorts of basketball terminology and jargon and things that a layperson would not understand. We're talking about elevator screens. We're talking about staggered screens. We're talking about floppy sets, all sorts of basketball jargon and a very interesting breakdown. It was like on SB Nation Warriors or Warriors World. I can't remember the exact website that had it, but I even retweeted it over the weekend saying, this is a really good breakdown of the Warriors' problems. But if you remove all the jargon from it, what this story basically says is the team is short and slow. And they are. The Warriors are short and they're slow, full stop. That's who they are. Steve Kerr, last night, sat there on the bench and watched this team give up how many wide open corner threes, especially in the fourth quarter. Not a single timeout, not a single adjustment. I mean, there is now, who's closing out on that corner three? You're doing your job horribly to the point where we shouldn't be crashing that hard to the rim looking for a rebound, because kick out to wide open corner threes is literally why you're going to lose this game tonight. And you could see that midway through the fourth quarter as the Warriors were pissing away a 10-point fourth quarter lead. Wide open corner three after wide open corner three. I mean, somebody get out there. Jeremy Grant is shooting wide open corner threes. And forget about the dude sitting courtside. The dude in the fifth row of the Rose Garden is closer to Jeremy Grant shooting that corner three than any Golden State Warrior. That can't happen. You know, it happens once or twice. Boop, quick timeout, 20-second timeout, however you want to do it. But come on, you just cannot let the same thing happen over and over and over and over and over again. And Steve Kerr just sat there watching it happen over and over again, no timeout, no adjustment, no nothing. I didn't get it, man. Steve Kerr has failed Jonathan Kuminga as a general manager, as a coach, as a guy who deploys minutes, as a guy who grooms talent, as a guy who gets someone to buy into where you got to be to play on this team. And again, it feels like Jonathan Kuminga is held to a standard by which Quentin Post is never held, Brandon Pajemski is never held, Moses Moody is never held, De'Anthony Melton, who played 19 scoreless minutes last night, he wasn't held to that standard. Jonathan Kuminga has to play a level of defensive on-court perfect at all times, which nobody else on this team is held to that standard. Nobody. Why'd you trade for Seth Curry? He's a DNP. Weren't we just talking about how Pat Spencer's that motherfucker? Like Steve Curry even said it. He said it out loud in press. I guess Pat Spencer is that motherfucker. Pat Spencer has been this team's best source of vibes all year long, and vibes matter in a basketball locker room. Pat Spencer, not only the vibe's been right, but he's legitimately been this team's third best option for a month. It's Curry, it's Jimmy Butler, and it's been Pat Spencer. Pat Spencer literally played 7 minutes last night. Like, how do you go from you're in the starting lineup to you're in the rotation to you're an afterthought? That happens over and over and over and over again. It is ridiculous to watch happen over and over and over again. Again, D'Anthony Melton was allowed to do nothing for 19 minutes. 0 points, one assist, two steals. In 7 minutes, Pat Spencer had a better game than D'Anthony Melton had last night. Where's Will Richard? What's wrong with Will Richard? Will Richard has played pretty damn well to the point where he was even getting a start earlier this year. And this is where I'm saying Steve Kerr has just lost touch. This is not how you develop guys. This is not how you run an NBA team. Tonight you're starting. Tomorrow you're going to 18 minutes. And then the game after that, you're a DMP, coach decision. That is not how you run a professional basketball team. And I know that in the early season, you're looking for all sorts of lineups and how they fit together and who can play well together. And there's always an experiment happening, but this is ridiculous. The Warriors single most fits the bill of athletic, large, young body that could help you is now rendered coach DNP. Jonathan Kuminga, just out of the picture. Nothing left to be seen, nuking his own trade value. Like, what are you doing? If you want to get rid of this guy and replace him with a better player, showcase him. The coach DMP thing is not good. I mean, having traded him for anyone, like, forget about, well, we're looking for the perfect trade that's really going to align with what the Warriors do and how the Warriors play and blah, 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 blah. We're looking for perfection. Anybody would have been better. Who's the worst player in the NBA who actually gets minutes? Had they traded for that Jonathan Kuminga for that guy, they'd have somebody to help him other than the huge hole of nothing that is now Jonathan Kuminga's career. It is insane. I've never seen a team draft a young guy who they win a championship with and then basically decide he can't play with us or for us, or we can't get him to, or we can't coach him to, and it's because of this inefficiency or this lack of attention. But here's Brandon Pajemski, and I actually don't mean to crap on Brandon Pajemski, who did not play bad last night. He didn't. Brandon Pajemski played pretty well last night. But Brandon Pajemski gets the longest leash in the world, where the minute Jonathan Kuminga has a dobber down game, he's out for 3 weeks. You know, we're going to say that Jonathan Kuminga very early on in this season is now part of the rotation. So much so, he's starting. And I believe it's going to remain that way. The very first sign of headwind, this team is taking its sails down and getting ready to battle the tempest. It's ridiculous. I've never seen a team trip on its own inability to get guys to buy into their own system in year 1000 now of Steve Kerr here. How do you keep on drafting guys who do not fit? How do you keep drafting small guards? How do you just add nothing but small guards? Well, they can shoot it a little. Steph Curry can shoot it a lot. Seth Curry can shoot it a little, but not when you don't play him, he can't. You know, the only threes that Seth Curry has really seen are warm-up threes, because he's not allowed to do anything beyond warming up. Why is he occupying a roster spot that could have gone to, let's just experiment with some guy who is, you know, 6'8 and a wing? Steve Kerr has lost his Midas touch. And if you're saying, you know, he's not responsible for the cards that he's been dealt, I reject that. I think he's absolutely at the center of roster construction responsibility. He's got more power to make decisions than Mike Dunleavy Jr. has. Come on. The sip of the day is long since passed. It was a great wake up with Kruger this morning. And we will get into the 49ers here in just a second. But they're too slow and too unathletic to play four guard lineups, especially when none of them really have a handle. Like, you run a double team at Brandon Pajemski, he's going to turn the ball over. Draymond Green, 14 points in the first half. One of the best offensive halves we've seen out of Draymond. He had 14 points at halftime. When the game was over, he had 14 points. What are you dipping out of the offensive responsibility for, Draymond? What are you doing turning the ball over eight times, Draymond? Eight turnovers from Draymond Green last night. Almost quadrupled, doubled with all those turnovers. Again, Will Richard, where is he? D'Anthony Melton shows up, does squad douche, and you let him play almost 20 minutes doing nothing. Why? Why weren't you early on to identify, oh, he's not quite caught up yet, not ready. Let's get in. Let's get in the feel-good story of the whole goddamn year, Pat Spencer. Moses Moody is a missed wide-open three every other time I look up at him shooting a wide-open three. I mean, a practice warm-up three. Moses Moody can't hit any of them. Quentin Post couldn't hit any of them last night. When the Warriors get a monster game out of Steph Curry like that, they cannot waste it. They can't. They ain't good enough. They won't be around for the playoffs if they waste another game like that of Steph Curry. That cannot happen. It can't. He passed Michael Jordan for the most 40-point games in NBA history after turning 30 years old. He now has 45 of them, but the Warriors gave up 40 fourth-quarter points and blew a 10-point lead in the final 10 minutes of the game. With turnovers galore, the Warriors, because it would nuke Portland's transition defense, would have been better in that fourth quarter, holding onto a ball for the entirety of the shot clock and then just throwing it out of bounds, then have an open court turnover, which means Portland's got a fast break going the other way. And by the way, on that fast break, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look like they're taking it to the rack. Jeremy Grant's going to run to the corner for a wide open three, and you're going to totally ignore that, even though it just happened 20 times in a fucking row. Slight exaggeration there. You know, place Pat Spencer. Everybody likes what they see. Bench him as soon as possible in the name of, we're going to try something else. Something else that is smaller, less exciting, less fan-friendly. In the name of, I think I got a better idea than what Pat Spencer is doing, which is playing harder than what Jonathan Kuminga ever did. So you're going to reward him with, one day you're starting, next day you're at 15 minutes, next game you're at 15. How much longer until we get the Pat Spencer DNP again? That's coming. It's next. It's got to be the next step. You know, can't trade Jonathan Kuminga into the 15th. Well, you just royally fucked up the first quarter of your season then, didn't you? By not figuring out a way to play him. So I'm trading for a guy that you're not playing, who's got wonky knees now. When does it start getting better? You know, Al Horford. Considering retirement, he now has sciatica like he's playing freaking shuffleboard at Del Boca Vista. Are you telling me you can't get into Del Boca Vista? Everything around the Warriors is screaming, this ain't going to work. Anytime the Warriors face a team without their best player, they lose to that team. The Warriors have been the career high for nobodies all season long. And what's crazy is they're not a bad defensive team. But their offense is killing them. killing them. Because they got nobody who's a bucket but for Steph Curry. Here's what I fear. What happens when the anxiety and the frustration that I'm feeling right now really starts to leak into how Jimmy Butler's acting? Because what is past is prologue, and there eventually comes a point where Jimmy Butler decides, I'm not happy, my team ain't good enough, and he starts to turn on them. Draymond Green, I think, knows that he really can't bite the hand that feeds him quite like that anymore. No guarantees, but, you know, what happens if Draymond gets dour? Then what? You know, Steph Curry literally was walking on water and the rest of the team drowned. What do you do? So what are you going to do? We're going to fire Steve Kerr? No. Steve Kerr's got house credit, right? Steve Kerr is the greatest coach in the history of the Golden State Warriors. There's nothing to debate. Steve Kerr is one of the greatest coaches. He is on the Bill Walsh, Bruce Bochy line here in the Bay Area forever. Steve Kerr has done an incredible job in so many more ways than he's doing a bad job. But Steve Kerr even admitted, I'm not doing my job well. And it's amazing that he admits that on the first night that I reached the conclusion, Steve's not doing his job well. Like I tweeted this out last night. This loss is on the Warriors front office and coach. There's a huge scoop of nada around one of the single greatest players of all time. Pat Spencer got 7 minutes. He's their third best option this month. Kerr has lost touch with his own roster. He admitted as such last night. If you were blowing the Steve Kerr's got to go whistle like a year ago, you didn't even cover this team. You don't know what you're talking about. And Steve Kerr and Steph Curry are probably forever linked together. But let me tell you, Steve Kerr seems to not have nearly as much left to give the Warriors as a coach on a nightly basis as what Steph Curry is at an age, which means the decline should be on. Steph Curry is a top 5-10 player in this league at his age right now, full stop. You know, they're pissing away Steph Curry's career. No, they won 4 titles during Steph Curry's career. They haven't pissed away his prime. This ain't his prime. But what should have happened was a full-on admission that the 2 timeline thing weren't working, and it was time to get out of that years ago, but they didn't. They kept on holding on to hope that Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga were going to be guys. Neither is a guy. Or they're just guys. And what I fear about Brandon Podziemski is Brandon Podziemski is just good enough to overlook him as he's the problem because he got so many other problems. And what you now are doubling down on just the Brandon Podziemski's all right. He can't create. He can't take anybody off the dribble in this league. Can't. You know, you got a backcourt full of dudes who got no boogie. Put boogie on nobody. When it comes to looking at this is the end, this is it. Steve Kerr has to find a new basketball Jesus. He's got to get another way of doing things implemented into this team right now other than I'm playing a 4-guard lineup. That ain't working. It's not working. It's not working now. It won't work in the future. It's not going to work with the team you got. You trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we can talk about 4-guard lineups. Until then, it ain't happening. Hand banana, I agree with you. The Warriors don't really have a top 8, maybe a top 4. Here's what the Warriors have. Steph Curry, Hopefully Jimmy and Dre are locked in. That's it. I hate to say it, but that's it. That's what the Warriors got. The Warriors got Steph Curry is the capital M-A-N. And after that, you got Jimmy Butler and Draymond. And then what? And then what? Quentin Post? If he ain't hitting his shots. Quentin Post is so bad defensively that if Jonathan Kuminga were that bad defensively, I mean, they probably would have had Jonathan Kuminga executed by now, right? Forget about just DNP. They would have had to, like, drown him in San Francisco Bay if he were that bad defensively. But because there's nobody else on this team who is, what's the word I'm looking for? Tall. They have to keep him in there. And here, Rodrigo, I completely agree with you. Steph Curry is a Boy Scout to the detriment of his own success. Steph Curry is not going to saber rattle. It's just not who he is. Shouldn't Steph also be vocal about these lineups? He needs to put Kerr in check. I agree with you. I agree with you. Steph Curry should decide who the closing lineup is. Not Steve Kerr, not the game situation, not who's playing well tonight, not who's in the doghouse this week or isn't in the doghouse this week. Steph Curry should decide who his ride or die team is in ride or die moments. Thanks for coming, Steve. It would be a bad look for the Warriors to fire a coach who helped bring four titles. It would be awful. It would be awful. But don't tell me. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think Steve Kerr constantly, Otis, and you know this, he talks about connectivity. His connection to his own roster is as big an unconnected element that we have seen in terms of connectivity, which Steve is always talking about. I don't think Steve is properly connected to his own roster or what it can do or what he thinks it can do. Again, thanks to everyone for being in here today. It is wonderful to have you here today. Hit like and subscribe if you would today, please. Again, we took the shot of doing a Warrior-centric thumbnail and start to the show today, which, you know, on an NFL Monday usually nukes the views. But this is what I had to talk about. And again, Wake Up with Kruger was awesome. Go watch that. Speaking of awesome, 49ers offense, very good yesterday. Defense, if you're surprised by what happened to the 49ers yesterday defensively, you're just not paying attention to the season that's in front of you. You're still wishing upon a star that things would go better. Defensively, they will be more unimpressive than impressive from here to the night they are either eliminated or win the Super Bowl, okay? There is no, and the defense was fucking awesome. It's just not going to happen. It's not who they are. It is a bend, do not break defense from here on out. And when that's what you got defensively, what you need is an offense. And yesterday, a season high 430 total yards of offense. They scored on each of their first five possessions. The Niners went touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. It's the first time that that's happened, scoring on five straight possessions since a Jacksonville Jaguar game that the Niners played in 2021. They converted on each of their first seven third downs. They didn't punt. That's what they need. Now, will they be able to do that against teams better than Tennessee? Probably not, but this is I played this. I want to do it again. If I could describe right now Here's the thing. So this is probably the incorrect description about the 49ers. Maximum football! I don't think there is maximum football in this league. I've been saying it all season. I'm going to say it again today. A very good team will win the Super Bowl this year. Greatness won't even apply for the position. There is no greatness in the NFL this year. The Rams are trying to be the team that defines it. We'll see. We'll see. Huge Thursday nighter. We'll explain why in a second. But if I had to describe the Warriors again, maximum football probably ain't the way to do it, but this would be.
I think I got my swagger back.
That's how I would describe the 49ers. Right? I just said Warriors. Sorry. The 49ers have a little offensive swagger back right now. They do. 23 of 30, 295 yards and 3 touchdowns for Brock Purdy, along with 7 carries for 44 yards, including a career-high 26-yard scamper where he literally, does one of those with show the ball as he's going out of bounds. Brock is feeling swaggy. Brock has doubled down on the Dougie. We've seen it for a second time this year. Season high 76.7 completion percentage for Brock Purdy. Yesterday was the first time in 3 months where Brock Purdy either played or didn't play, and we didn't say the word toe out loud. Did you say the word toe out loud yesterday? You didn't. You weren't worried about turf toe. Brock clearly ain't worried about turf toe. It wasn't affecting him at all yesterday. Brock is back, kids. Brock is back, and the Niners need him to be all the goddamn way back with a whole bunch of.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
That was his best game since the Super Bowl season. That's his first complete, or it's his first QB rating, passer rating of at least 140 since the Super Bowl season. Purdy's now 7 career games with a passer rating of 140 are tied for the most by a quarterback in their first 4 seasons since that stat became available in 1950. He's got 11 career 3 touchdown games now in the regular season, which is really good for a guy who hasn't even started 50 regular season games yet. Brock looked good. Now, that defense, you know, I think it would have been a little bit of a different day had either Malik Mustafa or Jair Brown held on to the, it felt like there was like 3 interception chances that they just let go through their hands yesterday. The difference between the Niners winning playoff games or not is going to be, did you hold on to that interception when it hit you in the hands? Yes or no? Again, did not punt offensively yesterday. That's fantastic. The 49ers defense is going to get it a little bit better when Tatum Bethune is back in the middle of it. Tatum Bethune is a tackling machine. This team could use a tackling machine, especially with the Colts and Jonathan Taylor around the corner. But I tell you, the Niners are catching a little bit of break again. Do you know how sore Phillip Rivers has got to be today? I'm going to guarantee you this. You know, I haven't walked a mile in Phillip Rivers' shoes. I haven't walked a step in Phillip Rivers' shoes. Phillip Rivers is sorer today than any day he has been in the last 4-5 years. How's Phillip Rivers going to look? The 49ers aren't playing on Thursday night, but a massive game is being played, an NFC West game between the Rams and the Seahawks that every 49er fan, again, has to pay huge attention to, and let me tell you why. Everyone, we're at that time of the year where you're starting to do your seeding mathematics. What has to happen? How many games do I got to win against my remaining opponents? How many games in the division do other teams need to win or lose? For here you go. Do you want a 1 seed? If the answer is yes, Here's how you 100%, nothing to debate. If the following happens, you get the one seed. If Seattle beats the Rams on Thursday Night Football, that feels like a big if. I'll grant you that. Feels like a big if. But it's a Thursday night game, a division game. Weird shit happens between division opponents on Thursday nights. If Seattle beats the Rams on Thursday Night Football, the 49ers officially control their destiny to the NFC's one seed. Rams lose in Seattle Thursday. Niners win out. They're the one seed. Doesn't matter what happens anywhere else in the NFC. Now, that's a month of football we're talking about. That's four games, one of which you just can watch. You have no effect over. So cross your fingers. Go Seahawks. Win out. Niners are the one. Nothing to debate. No other team can do a damn thing about that if that's the scenario that goes down. If the Niners are the one seed, Kyle Shanahan better be the unanimous coach of the year. Sorry, Mike Vrabel. You were more set up in New England. By the way, what a comeback for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. But you were more set up in New England, as bad as New England was set up to be. The Niners should be left for dead already. But for a very generous schedule for them, they should be left for dead already. It's a shame that Jordan Elliott got ruled out on game day. Obviously strained, pulled something. Hopefully there's no lingering there. All eyes will be on Ricky Pearsall's MRI results. He hurt his ankle. He hurt his knee. He hurts everything every time he plays. But he did have a good game yesterday. And really, what a freaking consequential day in football. There's not a lot of things that will happen this season that directly affect next season, except for two colossal things. The Chiefs were already done for the year in terms of the playoffs. They're done next year, too. Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL. To say that that's a major development is to do a disservice to what are major developments. So not only are the Chiefs donezo this year, they're pretty much dead on arrival without Patrick Mahomes next year. And can we only assume now that Travis Kelce is going to retire? Is Travis Kelce going to come back for one more year without Patrick Mahomes? That would be, I think, foolish. So you're probably never going to see Travis Kelce beyond the remaining games in this regular season again. You're not going to see Patrick Mahomes at all next year because his torn ACL happened so late in this year. He's out all next year, basically. How much more does Andy Reid want to stick around? Is Andy Reid excited about the 2027 NFL season, the 2028 NFL season? Or is he a little bit too old to be thinking like that? Maybe this hastens the ending of the Andy Reid era now in Kansas City. Major injury to Patrick Mahomes changes the entire temperature of a franchise that was cooling off before the ACL injury happened. Meanwhile, the Packers had been scary because their offense is, you know, what is their offense going to do on any given day? It was a Packers defense. It got a lot better since Micah Parsons shown up. Micah Parsons, done. It's official. He did tear his ACL. His body language screamed. Of course he tore his ACL. They announced it today. It was obvious the minute you saw him go down, non-contact, screaming in his knee. That's an ACL injury 10 out of 10 times. Micah Parsons, done for any playoff Packer appearance this year and all of next year. Wow, that's huge, 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 huge. Speaking of huge, this past weekend, Indiana picked up its first ever Heisman Trophy. Indiana was featured on 60 Minutes. Fernando Mendoza is a good-hearted cheeseball dude. There's no doubt about it. That's why everyone at Cal like hated on him so hard when he decided to transfer, because you thought you'd found the chosen one. And he was so nice. He is so nice. He say Fernando Mendoza's got some cornball in him, but it works. And don't mistake that polished, good-natured, cheesy positivity for weakness. Don't mistake that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Indiana is waiting around for the winner of Alabama-Oklahoma to play them on New Year's Day in the Rose Bowl with a Heisman Trophy winner after being profiled on 60 Minutes. I can't remember the last time I watched 60 Minutes. I watched that segment. By the way, Diego Pava of Vanderbilt, you are a classless, raised on the internet douche nozzle. Diego Pava, this is why you just get offline. In the history of finishing second in the Heisman, by the way, do you know how good you have to be? Do you know how proud and confident you should feel about finishing second in the Heisman vote? You just had an awesome year. And the kid basically undid the entire thing by going public with, again, you would never say this in person. No one would ever have the gumption to say this out loud in person. But because it's not in person, it's just on Instagram, Diego Pava goes, fuck the Heisman voters. You classless dude. By the way, first of all, Diego Pava, you are wearing a black turtleneck and a gold chain. You look like you should be selling used Kias in San Carlos. By the way, when Diego Pava stands next to the other Heisman finalists, he's Lilliputian. He looks like a Smurf up there. Diego Pava actually drank his own. I was on Theo Vaughn's podcast, therefore I'm cool. He went from great story, easy to root for, to what a dick. Sports don't build character, they reveal it. Yeah, we get that. We see it. You just revealed yours. Now today he's backtracked. I am so sorry. I'm incredibly competitive. No. You are low class. You are without sportsmanship, you bad loser. I finished second in the Heisman. I was robbed. Lick my balls, Mendoza. Fuck you. Ha ha. Ha ha. Not used Kias. Hey, I drive a Kia. I drive a Kia. I can make fun of used Kia dealers all I want. Seriously, dude, if you're wearing a suit with a black turtleneck and a gold chain, what are you still shopping at Chess King at the mall? 1987 called and said, don't wear that anymore. Thank you, Red Jet. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. By the way, this is hysterical. Hand banana. I drove a Suzuki Samurai. I had a Suzuki Samurai. It was a badass little car. It really was. I like my Suzuki Samurai. All right. So we're about to hop into today in history. But let me tell you a little bit why I was unable to join you yesterday for a watch party. As you know, we lost one of our own. 49er Ernie was laid to rest yesterday. I was invited to the funeral. And how can you say no? Like, this guy, when it felt like the world had stopped believing in me, believed in me. You can't give anybody a better gift than, while people are doubting you, I believe in you. Ernie believed in me, and I thank him for that. He's 47 years old. He's way, way too young to pass away. Went to his funeral, and when I was about to leave, so I paid my respects, I walked in there, and his mother fell into my arms and said, "Thank you for being here. You meant so much to Ernie." And that his family put this show on when he had lost the ability to communicate, when he was at his very, very end, in order to make him feel a little bit more like himself. They put this stupid, goofy show of ours on. That is as humbling as anything I could ever hear. And, you know, I said a little something at the funeral. People came up to speak, and I just said some nice things. And I figured it's time for me to take off. And I got to do this watch party because it's, you know, it's important for channel growth, and it's important for the station growth, and, you know, just channel growth and my income. Again, I get, you know, people are very generous with the super chats. Not one today. Thanks so much. But people are very generous with the supers on game day, and I do appreciate that. And look, I'm trying to make money over here. I am. When a grieving mother comes up to you and says, "Will you help carry my son home?" There's only one correct answer, and that's yes. So I immediately called Jillian. I said, "Take down the show. We're not doing the show. I have to be here today." And it was an honor to carry Ernie to his final resting place. Smiley Dan broke his heart. That was his really good friend. Smiley Dan and I were pallbearers yesterday for Ernie. And all I can say is rest in peace to a guy who loved Bay Area sports, loved San Francisco. We've officially lost a good one. So fare thee well, Ernie. Fare thee well. Okay. Today in history. As always, we start with birthdays. And today is such a galactically unimpressive day of birthdays. I only got one famous birthday to share with you. Happy 76th birthday to the man who gave us the hit single Heartbeat. Looking for a heartbeat. He's running around like some war-torn photojournalist in the damn thing. Happy birthday, 76 years old, Don Johnson. I hope Don Johnson's wearing a hot pink t-shirt and a white blazer somewhere forever. Okay. Here we go. So today, in 1827, in the city of Boston, Massachusetts, the school committee voted to require public school students show that they had been vaccinated against smallpox. Certificates to the Board of Health were issued, deeming it necessary to give out free vaccinations to students. And in 1827, people were like, "Oh, this is a great breakthrough in modern medicine. We will embrace it." And there wasn't an online group of idiots to try to convince anyone otherwise for political reasons. And all I can tell you is that we are currently near 2,000 active measles cases right now in the United States because we let the dumbest people in the world into a conversation about science. Did you see Donald Trump's reaction to the tragic death of Rob Reiner and his wife? If you're still with Trump, look, I don't mean to be political, but if you're still with that guy, I wish we could go like Inglourious Bastards, where at the very end, Brad Pitt was just carving swastikas into guys' heads saying, "You can take your uniform off, but you can't ever take this off." If you are still with Trump, after what he said today about Rob Reiner dying, being murdered in his own house with his wife, sadly, by the hands of his own son, you should have a tea cut into your head. You should be, if you are still with this guy, you should have to wear that for the rest of your fucking life. He is a disgrace to the concept of what a real man is. A disgrace of a human being. Holy shit. If you're, go read that. If that sits well with you, go fuck yourself. If you're still riding with that after that, that's the reaction to a murder. You know, isn't this the same crowd who was like, you better land what you have to say about Charlie Kirk perfectly after his murder? Donald Trump can literally say, yeah, I'm glad he was stabbed to death. He didn't like me. Ugh. Ugh. Disgusting. And you're the reason why the economy's collapsing, the entire world's global alignment is out of whack, and we've got nearly 2,000 measles cases, you fucking dopes. Today in 1939, Gone with the Wind premiered at the Lowe's Grand Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. It was such a big deal that the mayor of Atlanta declared a three-day festival, and it takes you about 3 days to watch Gone with the Wind. It's such a long movie. But it did that. How about that? 1939, three-day Gone with the Wind celebration. I mean, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Today in 1944. Band leader Glenn Miller's plane disappeared over the English Channel. And it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. Glenn Miller, one of the largest music stars of his day, dies in a plane crash today, 1944. Today in 1968, Eagles fans pelted Santa Claus with snowballs because the real Santa Claus who was supposed to show up that day was unable to make it for whatever reason. So a kid from New Jersey named Frankie Olivo, who was a fan who was dressed as Santa Claus for the game. He was a 19-year-old kid, but he had like a homemade janky Santa Claus costume, and he was a skinny kid. And they asked him, will you be Santa Claus today? And the kid was like, oh man, and I'm going to get wheeled out onto the field. Yes, I'll be your Santa Claus today. Pelted with snowballs. Never change, Philadelphia. I know you won't. But God, you want to talk about no good deed goes unpunished? Yeah, I will volunteer to be your Santa Claus. Snowball, 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 snowballs. Let's see. Oh, so today in 1997, just as coincidence, the U.S. Department of Defense ordered that all Americans in its service, we're talking about 2.5 million people, be inoculated against anthrax. Oh, an inoculation is sort of like getting shots. And the government forced me on it. Well, how come no one was saying my rights, my body in 1990? Because we weren't all fucking Trump idiots in 1997. That's why. That's why. There wasn't a political party in America whose ruining of education, comprehension, understanding, conversation wasn't essential to their own success. I mean, if you guys can't see through this window anymore, I'm sorry. Damon, I don't like when you get into politics. Unsubscribe, go away. I don't care. This isn't even about politics. This isn't even Republican or Democrat. If you can't spot the bad guy, you were raised so horribly. Good God. Yeah, get your medical advice from Jenny McCarthy, you fucking morons. Today in 2001, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was reopened in Pisa. Still getting that lean on. But they finally structured it to where it's not going to fall over, which is really good, because what would we say about Pisa if not for the words Leaning Tower of? Pisa would not be in the news, but for the Leaning Tower of. Took 10 years to stabilize that bad boy, but they did it. Finally, and this is funny to me, in 2007, the Weather Channel released a compilation of music used during their Locals on the 8 segment, just like all elevator music, kind of jazz. That Weather Channel album peaked at number one on the Billboard Top 100 chart for contemporary jazz. How about that? The Weather Channel had bangers. So they put out an album and it went to number one. Thank you very, very much for watching today. Hit like and subscribe, or don't. That's fine too, I guess. Excessive says, rest in peace, Ernie. Thank you very much, Excessive. He comes back saying, 49ers win, Cowgirls lose at home, the Chiefs are done. That's a great day of football yesterday. The Colts almost did us a solid two. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I want to thank you for watching, for being a part of a community that really did love this guy. Sweetheart of a person, man. Rest in peace, Ernie. All of you, be nice to somebody today. Be nice to somebody today. Love someone today. Go home and hug your family today. Mend a broken fence today, because you don't know when it's over. You know, death is such powerful medicine. You know, we don't have much death around us by design, because it is so powerful. And to be around it yesterday, I got in the car to drive home. I started thinking about my kids. I started crying. And I just got home and I hugged my boys so hard, and I hugged Jillian. And you go home and you hug who you love today. It's my best advice for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this. Sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.